This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Hurricane Dorian swept through the Outer Banks last week, and the region is facing a long recovery. Dare County puts the damage at around $15 million, but the hardest hit was Ocracoke Island in Hyde County. Residents say the water surged so rapidly it was alarming. Areas that had never been flooded before were inundated, and recovery efforts have been hampered because most of the vehicles left on the island were destroyed. Joining us to talk about surviving the storm is a lifelong resident and business owner, Rex O'Neill. Rex is a former fisherman who now owns Ocracoke Golf Cart Rentals. Rex, thanks for joining us.
Okay, how are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm fine, but the big question is, how are you and how are things on Ocracoke?
Well, I'm getting through it, but it's things on Ocracoke right now is pretty devastating. Like, it looks like a bomb went off. It's a total disaster.
Yeah, well,
quite honest.
Tell us about you rode out the storm, right? So what did you see, and what were you seeing through the worst of it?
Well, I rode out quite a few storms. Most hurricanes on the island in my 66 years, I've been through a lot of them, but this one was by far, tide-wise, the worst I've ever seen. I was looking out the window, and all of a sudden, the tide, it was blowing about 90 with the rain blowing, but I've seen that before. But when the tide came up this time, it came up so fast, and it ended up flooding my house on the downstairs of my house, and I have a couple of rental houses that flooded. Both of those washed one of them right up. The surge was so strong it washed one of them right out of the ground and over halfway on its side. It's just a rapid flow of water. It came faster than I've ever seen it.
As you say, yeah, faster than you've ever seen before. A lot of people were surprised by this one. And, of course, hurricanes are notoriously unpredictable. But, you know, what caused you to decide to ride it out? And what surprised you? I mean, what were you expecting from this one? And how is this, you know, how is this different from what you expected?
Well, what caused me to ride it out, I usually do try to ride most of them out because I've got so much stuff here on the island that I it's so hard to get back on the island if you want to get off and you can't get back with all your damage. So I can pretty well had no trouble riding them in a storm out, and I haven't this one. But this one was different in the fact that the tide just reached places that it's never reached before.
Wow.
I have a house that's kind of, I consider, on a hill. And where people always put their vehicles and stuff up on this, up around where my one rental house is at. And I as well put my vehicles under there because it never had any water under the house. And this time it came up not just under the house, but up so high that they just ruined all the vehicles in that area.
Yeah, everything was gone. Did you lose all of your golf carts that you rent, right? They all gone?
I lost four. I lost three houses. I have a couple of rental houses, and two of them are almost, one of them I might can jack it up. I lost four of our vehicles, and I have about 80 golf carts. I'm still trying to figure out how many of those I lost. Yeah. I probably lost about half of those. I had them up way up high on some other high places, and the ones that was down the least a little bit low, at the bottom of the, what we call a hill was, just a few at the top survived, but I lost, yes, about over half of our golf carts. Wow. As I say, four vehicles, and I want to say two and a half houses. Two houses are completely destroyed, and one of them is, we got people, thank goodness, we got a lot of people from the neighboring communities just coming by boat and helping us strip it out before the mold sets in.
Yeah, talk about that. You mentioned this a minute ago, but maybe you can give me some more details about, you know, some of the hazards of evacuation because of how difficult it is to get back on the island in the aftermath. So when things finally calm down, it still takes you a long time to get back because of the way the operation works, and a lot more damage can be done in that period. So talk about the difficulties of evacuating and returning.
Well, the state, you know, of course, Ocracoke Island is unique in the fact that there's no bridges going to our island, so the only way that we are reached is by ferry boat or a small airplane or private boat. And, of course, they have to tie the ferries up so that they don't get damaged during the hurricane, and that's understandable. But it usually takes about 2 or 3 days after the hurricane passes for them to, you know, start breaking the ferries up, inspected and ready to go again. And if we get caught off the island, you know, with all the stuff closed up in the houses and stuff like that, then it makes it worse when we do get back, and we still got the same mess, except for worse.
Rex,
one reason a lot of people, you know, decide to stay is hard to get back.
All that mold damage that other people could by then have been back and opening things up. Rex O'Neill, I'm talking to Rex right now, lifelong resident of Ocracoke Island, owner of Ocracoke Golf Cart Rentals. And joining the conversation now is Kirk Ross, been covering the story for the Carolina Public Press and the Washington Post. Kirk, welcome back.
Yeah, and Coastal Review as well.
And Coastal Review.
Shout out to them.
We should say a lot of damage. And talk about this, because there are very few cars left operating on the island now, right?
Yeah, I think that is a big issue. If you're trying to haul stuff to a place where they're you're supposed to take your carpets and wallboard and things like that, there's no way to haul stuff around. If somebody says, "Hey, we got a generator," how do you get it to your house? You can't just put it on your back. I have a friend who just got back there who's been doing some relief, and she said, I'm sending a bunch of wheelbarrows down. Wow. I mean, that's kind of how rough things are right now. And I'm sure things will start to come back, but the way she described it to me is it's a major disaster in a small place. And 80% of the houses there have some kind of damage. They pulled, it's not a big town, you know, it's 600 to 800 maybe year-round residents at any time. And they pulled the electric meters out of 400 houses on that island. So even if they reconnect the power to the pole, you've got to have the place rewired. Your insulation's wet. They've already had 3 fire runs, I understand, people getting reconnected, and, you know, then the place catches on fire. And just getting things there, just as Mr. O'Neill was talking about the difficulties in getting back, one reason is they're trying to get supplies and crews to there. It's a 2.5-3 hour ferry ride.
Well, and now, you know, a very bad road that takes you from the ferry.
Right, exactly. So the NC-12 damage is pretty amazing. That's the road, the ribbon of highway, the iconic ribbon that runs the Outer Banks. It also runs from a ferry station that connects the island with Hatteras down 10 or 12 miles to the town. Yeah. The town's just on one end of the island, and the rest is National Seashore. Soundside flooding is tremendously damaging to the older communities, which tend to have the more, you know, working class folks who work on the island for the Park Service or the Coast Guard or in the service industry, tend to live in these older homes, you know, on the sound side.
And there is a school that's going to be likely closed for the year.
Yeah.
What does that mean for kids getting, where are they going to go to school?
Well, the school is, just to think of it as a school is one thing, but it is so much the heart of the community. It's what sustains the community. The basketball games are the big thing in the winter. And I've been to that school a few times. And it's really a special thing. And it's not that many kids, maybe 100, maybe 150 tops. And people are trying to make decisions now. What do I do for my kid? What's best for my kid? Do I put them in school in Hatteras and we do that route?
That's a long ride.
Yeah, now, at least the state has for maybe the first time opened up a direct ferry from Hatteras into the town, into Silver Lake, is the harbor there, rather than go to the tip of the island and everybody drive down. So that, I don't know how much longer that's going to go on, but it's still, that's mm-hmm. a 3 hour, put your kid on a bus for 3 hours, if they were going to the mainland, or an hour and a half each way. And it's just not sustainable. There's also no real place they can shelter on the island in a situation like that. Frank, this was like a tsunami. It was 7 feet of water in about 90 minutes. And you can't battle that.
Rex O'Neill, let me come back to you and ask you about that. I mean, in school and everything else, I mean, This thing had passed. The Dorian itself was going through, and it looked like it was not going to cause as much damage to the whole state. And yet this sounds like about as much devastation as Ocracoke has seen in a lifetime.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, as he was saying, the school is pretty well done. And for to get the kids, I don't know what they're going to do. For to get the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandkids go to school there. And the school's not going to be open. They open up a school or anything. And actually, the road going to Hatteras is not going to be passable. So they would have to do the long ferry ride. Yeah. And that's going to eat up half the day. So it's, as well as the fact that there's a lot of old people here on the island that don't even have any place to go. People are taking them in. They had the houses on stilts, you know, for a while. But it's a total mess. From every aspect, every way you look at it.
All right, well, Rex, we're gonna keep checking in with you. We thank you so much for taking this time out to talk with us now, Rex.
Thank you all for being concerned about it. We appreciate that.
We'll check in again. Rex O'Neill, lifelong resident of Ocracoke Island, the owner of Ocracoke Golf Cart Rentals. Also, Kirk Ross, who's been covering the story for the Carolina Public Press, the Washington Post, and a number of other fine publications. You can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org.